Let us turn to the Old Testament from the book of Leviticus. Read in chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, we'll read through the whole chapter. Let us hear the word of God. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will, at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall be washed with water, shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep, or of the goats, for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And he shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle his blood round about upon the altar. And he shall cut it into his pieces with his head and his fat. And the priests shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But he shall wash the inwards and the legs with water, and the priest shall bring it all and burn it upon the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Excuse me. And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves and or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar and wring off his head and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our soul. Now we had a sort of introduction to the book last week, and we were reminded where we are with the Israelites now there in the desert after the tabernacle had been raised up. And here we learn the Lord had called Moses finally to the tabernacle. He's speaking to him and he's giving information and all that is needed to know for the Israelites to approach the Lord, to be in communion with him and to enjoy His presence there in the midst of Israel. Here we have this nation of slaves that have been recently in Egypt for so many years, and they had been delivered by their God. And here they are, having been built the place where God will dwell among them. And from this chapter onward, they will be told and taught how to worship God, how to approach the Most Holy God that delivered them by grace and redeemed them as His own people. So, in the next few 6 or 7 chapters, we'll actually be told of 5 sacrifices. And here is the first one. It is what we have read, all about the burnt offering. But I would title this actually what I have been reading a few times, if you have noticed, what the purpose of this is: a pleasing aroma to the Lord. That's how they have been addressed to do through this sacrifice called the burnt offering. So we have here how to give a pleasing aroma to the Lord, how to bring to Him something acceptable. Now I've got here 5 aspects, 5 things to notice about this sacrifice. We won't obviously have time to go into every detail, but mainly you have noticed that throughout the chapter there are given 2-3 possibilities. There are 3 different kinds, at least, of animals. And we'll see later what this means. But let us stick for a start at the first description of this burnt offering, which is found in the first 7 verses, 7 or up to 9 verses. So the 5 things to remember, which are common to all these sacrifices, to all these animals, but to this particular burnt offering, are 5. And these are the following: it is voluntary, it is valuable, it is substitutionary, it is atoning, and it is fragrant. This is what we find reading through these verses. So let us do this quite quickly with God's help. The first thing we read in verses 2 and 3 is in fact these words: "Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, and you shall do so and so." And verse 3 actually says another aspect, which is at the end of verse 3 we read, "He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord." So this is a voluntary offering. This particular offering, the burnt offering, is actually not the first time that you find it in the Word of God. It was already known by revelation, obviously. It was the offering that was done by Adam, by Abel, Noah, Abraham, and others. That's what we find written. They were offering a burnt offering to the Lord. And obviously, they knew what they were doing. And here is the Lord teaching His own people in many details what they are to do now that they have the tabernacle there placed in the midst of their camp. So when we look at these aspects of the offering, we are to make a little effort. We are to make ourselves a big jump and go back into Old Testament times as if we were living there with these people, doing these things that the Lord commanded them. And we have to try and imagine what this means in practice. So that's what we are trying to do as we look at this burnt offering. And then secondly, we are to obviously look at the New Testament and be reminded what we are told in the New Testament regarding these sacrifices and what the reason is and what the explanation is in the Word of God. And obviously, lastly, having done this, asking ourselves what this means for us and what is the real application for us to know about these sacrifices. Because as we have seen already with the tabernacle, we know that we are not to do these sacrifices again anymore. Just as we don't have to build a tabernacle anymore, there is a reason for this, and the reason is explained with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all these things have been fulfilled in Christ. And that's where, in the New Testament especially, we are given the fulfillment with the coming of Christ. So, this is, we are told, as a start, a voluntary offering. Imagine you being there in Israel, and you decide to approach the Lord. You perhaps have examined your own life, and you have come to understand that your faith has been weaker. Or perhaps you have come to an understanding of your own sin, of your own particular sin, and you want to confess this to the Lord. You want to enter the tabernacle, but you know you cannot. You have this great sense of guilt, and your conscience tells you you can't approach the Lord. You can't even imagine entering the door of the tabernacle, for you are a sinner. And you have learned and seen the mighty works of God redeeming you from Egypt, and your heart is broken. But you want to offer a sacrifice, bring an offering to the Lord to please Him. And here you are told what to do. The Lord Himself has given you this instruction. And you enter the door of the tabernacle with this voluntary offering. Well, the New Testament tells us that, in fact, first of all, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ did Himself in offering Himself to the Father. Every moment of His life, since His birth, we have learned in the larger catechism how He humbled Himself, leaving the glory of heaven. And willingly He came, He humbled Himself, He left everything, and He walked as a man here on earth. And as if this was not sufficient, He offered Himself looking at the cross, knowing what He was doing, obeying His Father willingly as a voluntary offering. Perhaps we should remember the words of the Lord in John chapter 10, where He told His disciples and tells you today, "I am the door." If you ever want to offer anything willingly that has a value, it has to be through the door of the tabernacle, through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. There's nothing you can bring in your own efforts, in your own so-called willing spirit. It must be sanctified by grace, and it is through the door that you are to enter. Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Go in and out and find pasture." It is through Christ that you are to offer. It is what he has done, voluntarily offering himself to the Father on the cross. So this is the first step for us, actually, to remember and to offer in Christ all of ourselves. To offer, yes, our confession and our unwillingness even to serve the Lord or to do anything good for him, to mourn over our own sins and recognize that he is holy and we are not worthy to be in his presence. We are to do this as a voluntary step, but it is only a step of grace that only the Spirit of God has enabled you to see and to receive this blessing, as we were reading this morning, the blessing of being broken, the blessing of being humbly having humbly confessed your sins and willing to approach the presence of God at the throne of grace. How could you else be right with God? How could you else enter the tabernacle if there was not a sacrifice, if you could not bring by faith what Christ has actually done for you? The Lamb without blemish. And here we are, what we learn next. It is not only a voluntary sacrifice, but we read in verse 3 that this offering must be a male without blemish. It is repeated again in verse 10 when there is the description of another animal to bring. Verse 10, he shall bring a male without blemish. So this is important. Again, this animal could have been a bull, a ram, or a goat, or a male dove, or a pigeon. But it had to be with no defect, without blemish. And this, if you are one of these Israelites who owns either perhaps a bull, or much cattle, or maybe only a few sheep, you do know that you may have some of them with some defects. Perhaps some of them may be close to death. Perhaps some of them may have not been so perfect. And in choosing what you are to offer to the Lord, you are to pick up the one without blemish, the most valuable. The Lord won't accept the animal that is going to die because he is ill. And if you are going to offer the sheep, which is the best in your flock, that's going to cost you. But you want to bring this to the Lord. Remember, in your desire to be in the presence of God and bring this offering, this is what the Lord is asking you. And obviously, as we turn into the New Testament, we are spoken of this sacrifice of Christ in the very same way. The sacrifice of the Lord was not something invaluable at all. The Lord, God was very well pleased with his Son, we read. He was the Lamb with no imperfection. He was the Son of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, we are reminded that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition by our fathers. But, this is 1 Peter 1:19, but Peter says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. It is a remarkable connection with the book of Leviticus. Peter is using the very same words, and he knows very well all about these sacrifices and why they were there and what they were supposed to do. And the Spirit of God is precisely directing our thoughts to the Lamb of God without blemish and without spot. He was perfect. He was sinless. That's the reason God is telling His people to do this. Take another text in Hebrews 9:14. By the way, Hebrews 9 and 10, 11, these are chapters that are so important to help us and unfold and explain these sacrifices. So Hebrews 9 tells us this: Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. So this sacrifice was voluntary, just as Christ went to the cross of His own will. But it was also valuable, without blemish. Christ was sinless, in fact. Thirdly, what do we find in verse 4? We read that this person in Israel had to put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now remember, at this point, this animal is still alive, and this man is asked to put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. So this meant this action of putting the hand on the animal was pointing to a sort of exchange, or a sort of an identification with this animal. Placing the hand on this bullock or on the sheep or whatever it was, it pointed to a substitutionary action. There was an exchange made here. There was a transfer, and this person knew that his sins, her sins, were transferred into this animal. That was the action and the meaning. And obviously this was the reason, if you remember, that you decided, if you were there in Israel at the time, you decided to offer to God, to go into His presence, to confess your sins, to be accepted by the Lord. And you knew your conscience was guilty. And that's what you were doing. You would look at this best animal that you had, and you brought him to the Lord, and there you could see your sins, transferring them unto this innocent one. That should have been your place. That's what you were saying. That's what you had in mind as you were doing this. And this is exactly what we learn of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? Today, what we read in the New Testament as the explanation of the mind of God here in the Leviticus for them. Don't we read, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 2, he was describing Christ and salvation, and he said this: who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed, ye were healed. Or the famous words of Paul in 2 Corinthians of the Lord Jesus Christ: He was made sin for us, He who knew no sin, so that we might be righteousness of God in Him. You see this transfer. That's the reason of that sacrifice. It was to be a substitute. It was to provide someone there on the altar in the place of the sinner. And that is what you are doing by faith if you trust the Lord. That's what you are asked to do all the times that you come in the presence of God, and by faith you place your hands, as if it were, on the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing Him there, broken on the cross and given, and walking there in your place, bearing your sins. He has been your substitute. So this was a voluntary sacrifice, a valuable one, and also a substitutionary one. But thirdly, it was to atone sin. You see the end of verse 4. It was accepted for him to make atonement for him. And verse 5 gives the description. He shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle. The blood of this animal had to be sprinkled all around the altar. And that is obviously what we have read so often about Christ, and about the sacrifice, and about the reason for these sacrifices, that by the shedding of blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Moreover, Hebrews 9 in detail tells us that Jesus, by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained redemption for us, having obtained eternal redemption for us. That is the reason for Christ giving up Himself and shedding His blood to cover your sins. It was not this sacrifice particularly, it was not the actual animal that was taking away the sins of the people, but it was pointing to the only Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the world. And lastly, this sacrifice, we read a few times that it was, verse 9, the first time, it was of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And that is repeated again, verse 17. And in verse 13, it was a fragrant aroma that was raising up from the altar up to the God. And this was symbolized by the fire that was burning and making this sacrifice acceptable to the Lord. So you imagine, having done all these steps, being there in Israel, having brought the animal, having seen, crossing the eyes with this animal, his bloodshed being killed in your place and being placed on the altar, burned with the wrath and the fire of God's judgment, being satisfied and appeased God's wrath over your sins. There He is, and that is what in your mind and in your conscience will remain as you walk home, and as you, by faith, receive the blessing of God over your sins. Now you know, God has told you, you are accepted. You have offered a pleasing sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord has accepted you and promised you that because of that substitution, you are cleansed, you are free. It was complete. It was what He required. And you have done this all. Ephesians chapter 2 is bringing us to reality, speaking of Christ and telling us this. Paul is talking, remember, to believers. He's talking to those who are in Christ, and He said to them, encouraging them, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. What a beautiful parallel and a description of this burnt offering for our own days, for your own life. You are not to make and bring any of these animals anymore, for the Lamb of God has come, and it is your faith that is required to trust in Him for what He has done in your place. Have you taken by heart the full benefit of this sacrifice? Do you really trust that Christ has died and was broken, and the wrath of God's fire has consumed Him in your place? Do you believe and approach God in Christ in such a way? Can you see Christ's love for you in dying and willingly going there in your place for your salvation, for your benefit? And that is the reason why we read, if you grasp all this, and if your heart is full of thankfulness and awe and marvel in before God's work and grace to you, you reach Romans 12, where Paul, having explained all the grace of God in Christ, you reach Romans 12, where he says, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, I beseech you, I plead you, after all this, after having spoken of salvation by grace, through Christ, in Christ, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Do you truly trust the Lord? Do you fully believe that He has done for you in your place? Then your whole life, you're not to bring a physical animal, you're not to do anything special, but you are to do all that is in your power, all that is in you. You are dead, and you are offering all yourself to Christ. That is your only reasonable service. You have nothing else to do, for you are saved not by your own works, but you are saved through that perfect sacrifice. It is on the basis of that that you do all things, that you return your love to the Lord as your Savior. Then you will be acceptable unto God.